First of all, I would just like to say thank you very much on behalf of the entire UTS mission team for the opportunity to engage with you as a community, to take part in your events, and for you guys inviting us into your general schedule. It's been an absolute pleasure and an honour to be able to do so. So, firstly, I've just got a question for you. What do you think happens to people when they die? You see, death is something that has fascinated people for thousands of years, generation upon generation. And for every people group that has walked this earth and called it their home, there are almost as many opinions on what actually happens to someone when they pass away. There are some that believe after death we may return as a spirit or an animal. Others fear it intensely, paying enormous sums of money, having their bodies preserved in the hope that one day technology will advance to a point that it can not only bring people back from the dead, but sustain them indefinitely. While the overwhelming scientific opinion is that when we die, it is akin to a light bulb that has been put into a plug of too high a voltage. The filament melts, it's destroyed, ruined, and it's never going to emit light or warmth again. So what do you believe happens to someone when they die? There's one clear advantage. Well, to understand what actually happens to a person when they die, first we need to understand why it happens. So let's go right back to the beginning of the human race. Genesis 2 verse 7 states that the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. And the man became a living being. So God, in his great grace, bestowed the gift of life to man. But that's life, you may be wondering. I thought it was death we were looking at. And indeed, you are correct. But you see, when mankind was made by God, we were meant to have eternal life with God. And there are two other important points that can be taken from this. Firstly, God has the power to give life freely, eternal life. And secondly, death cannot exist without life existing before it. So we continue a little further along. We come to Genesis 3, verse 5, which states, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You see, Adam and Eve had taken it upon themselves and decided to do what mankind would continue to do for millennia. Ignore God's guidance and generally act like he doesn't matter. In short, they decided to play God. Every time we play God, essentially when we choose for ourselves what to do instead of what God tells us to do, we ignore him and are corrupting the image of God. So you may be wondering, wait, just stop for a minute. How did things jump so quickly from choosing for ourselves to corrupting the image of God? And that's a good question to have, because it helps to understand why God is so displeased with people's disobedience towards him and their attempts to play God. The reason for this is that God made mankind in his image, as can be found in Genesis 9, verse 6. For God made man in his image. This means that not only did God give us life, but that the very thing upon which our life is based is God. And as such, we're meant to be representatives for God and ambassadors for him. So if we are God's representatives, then what we think, say, and do are meant to reflect God's wishes. And it is because of that that when people choose to ignore God's wishes and instead decide for themselves what they do, they are painting a false image or corrupting the image of God. It's like someone going off and deciding to repaint the Sistine Chapel or to modify and adjust Michelangelo's David, thinking that really they know better. But rather than just defacing the work of an artist, we are destroying the image of an all-knowing, all-powerful, and eternal being. A being which has complete control over our fate. So, quite understandably, whenever God's image is defiled in this manner, he takes note and makes a record of it. Now, I'm no expert on divine beings, but generally speaking, getting on the wrong side of an all-powerful being is a bad thing. And indeed, this does turn out to be true, as it is through this corruption of God's image, which is given the name of sin, that death is made a reality for mankind. So while God bestows life to mankind, it is our own actions and disregard for God that has led to death being introduced to our existence. But despite our constant sin and attempts at playing God, God still has an intense love for us and desires to see us returned to the place that he had planned for us, eternal life with him, enjoying perfect, uncorrupted creation. And so God made a plan to see us return to this status, free from death, by cleansing us from our sin. He planned to right the wrongs of mankind. To help people prepare, God foretold what to expect. In Psalm 16, verse 10, "You will not abandon me to Hades. You will not allow your faithful one to see decay." Hades, in this case, is used in place of death. Sometimes in the Bible, it is almost a personification of death. And from this, we can see that God's faithful one, which can be translated to Christ in Greek or Messiah in Hebrew, will be the instrument through which God plans to remove our sin, and in doing so, free us from death. Additionally, this Christ will not see decay. Decay. Is there anyone who can tell me when a body will normally experience decay? Yeah. So living bodies do not decay. So presumably this Christ will not end up passing away to death, which is reinforced by the statement that the faithful one will not be abandoned to Hades. So we know for a fact that God's faithful one will overcome death. Another prophecy is that God's way of righting our wrongs and fixing our sin will be from the line of David. The prophet Nathan, referring to David in 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 and 13, states, "When your time comes and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up after you your descendant, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." From this we find out it is in fact a living man of the line of David who will be the way to return to God's good books and to the destiny that he intended us for, to share eternal life with him. You could think that identifying this Christ would be a challenge. However, thankfully the hard work has been done for us. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 8, it proclaims that Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descended from David. While Acts 2, verse 31 states that Jesus, he was not left in Hades and his flesh did not experience decay, which matches up nicely with one of the Old Testament prophecies. While Matthew 1, verses 1 to 16 goes the whole hog as far as the genealogy of Jesus is concerned, tracing his lineage not back all the way to David, but all the way back to Abraham. This needs little explanation. Jesus is undeniably, unquestionably God's Messiah, through whom not only are our sins forgiven, but by which we can be restored to eternal life with our loving and awesome Creator, God. Now, with all the background dealt with, we can return to the question of what. What happens to people when they die? Well, with our now furthered understanding, this is actually quite easy to unpack. Revelation 20 clearly describes that all dead people are resurrected permanently. Just as we discovered in Genesis 2 verse 7, God bestows the gift of eternal life upon mankind. However, there are two distinct groups within those that are resurrected. Those that are part of the first resurrection and those who are not. Revelation 20 verse 6 states, "Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection." Being considered blessed and holy means that in the eyes of God, we are to be part of his people, to enjoy eternal life, free from death and corruption in his presence. While the only alternative to this is to spend an eternity suffering in condemnation, judged for all of our sins and misdeeds accumulated over a lifetime. Well, you may be thinking, condemnation doesn't exactly sound pleasant. But it's not the end of the world, is it? And if you think that, that is where you're wrong. Because it is, quite literally, the end of the world. For while all of this resurrection and being blessed is taking place, the world as we know it is being brought to an end. In fact, the fate of those who are not blessed and holy in God's eyes is described in Revelation 20 verse 15. "And anyone not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." Now that is something that really doesn't sound pleasant. From this punishment, there is no escape, no relief, no mercy. You can be the most charismatic person on the world, and yet you cannot talk your way out of it. You can be the strongest person in the world, and you cannot fight your way out of it. And that brings us neatly to the final point to be addressed. How exactly are people sorted into the groups of the first resurrection and not? Well, those who are part of the first resurrection are in the book of life and spend eternal life in the presence of God, in the place that he intends, while those who are not receive nothing but condemnation and suffering. In Acts 2, verse 21, we can see that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So that's it. Those who love and put their faith in God and the Redeemer he sent, Jesus, will be granted a place in the book of life and a place to spend eternal life with God. While those who continue to live ignoring God, choosing for themselves what to do, will suffer condemnation. I don't know for a fact what eternal life with God will be like, as God's power is so far in excess of everything that there is no way of comprehending it. But there is one thing I do know, and that is that the alternative, which is to be thrown into a lake of fire and condemned by the most powerful being that exists or ever will exist, is the last thing that I want for myself or for any other person on that matter. So finally, I'm just going to spell it out for you. What happens to a person when they die is down to what they do during their life. If they choose to put their faith in God and his Redeemer they enjoy eternal life in uncorrupted perfection, a new creation. While those who continue to ignore God, play God, and act against Him will suffer.
Great insights there. Certainly,